Although we're one man short of being the Three Amigos, we're going to take a walk and dive into some favorite memorable contacts we've made in our ham radio lives next on Live Free and Ham. All right. Hello and welcome to the Live Free and Ham podcast. Our bi-weekly show explores ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. Whether you're a regular listener or a first-time guest, we're excited to have you here. We appreciate all those folks that have been listening and your support. And as always, thanks for tuning into this week's episode. So let's get into today's show. I'm one of the hosts here. My name's Eric, call sign N1JUR.
And I'm Todd, W1STJ.
All right. And like I said, one of our other hosts is away flying the friendly skies. We'll miss him in spirit, as always. But hopefully he'll be back soon and be able to join the ranks again. So
That's Ryan, W1 SH.
Right. So we don't forget Ryan at all. For those
that, we miss you, Ryan.
We didn't axe him. This is not a Monty Python skit. All right. So just a couple of things for housekeeping I just want to touch upon. Every month we actually run a live stream. So if you've had a chance to catch our last live stream, you'll definitely enjoy this up and coming one. We will be having Lucas, W1BTR, on. He is the developer and owner of the Minecraft mod called Radiocraft. So we're pretty excited to have that him on and have him show some live demos and talk. So definitely come along and check it out. And as the big announcement, we are gearing up for NearFest. So those that are in the New England area, New Hampshire specifically, NearFest is coming up in October for the fall segment. We're working to get ourselves there and to do a similar live show like we did at Ham Exposition. So definitely come by. We'll have some free swag, maybe a couple of giveaways, but we're working all the details out. So stay tuned for that. Before we kind of dive into our memory treasure trove there, what's been going on with your ham radio life there, Todd?
Not much. I haven't done much ham radio lately. I've been extremely busy with, I'm back to coaching baseball. So that was something I wasn't expecting to be doing this fall, but somehow I got dragged into it. So I've been doing that again, and work's been kind of busy. I've had a couple long nights, a lot of crazy days. And but I have been, when I work these overnights, I do get into my flex and make some contacts. So I've been making some contacts here and there, but nothing too extravagant. And I have a lot of projects that have just been kind of put on hold that hopefully I can start working on them when life gets a little bit calmer.
Yes. Yeah. Hopefully winter will roll in and things will get a nice blanket of white and things will start to slow down again that you can pick ham radio up. So cool.
Yeah. I mean, the one project we did was put my antenna up higher.
And, oh yeah. We're going to have to figure out time to do that before winter. I totally forgot the other one.
But the dipole is up a little bit higher. It was kind of fell through the ice last year and it was a lot lower. We put it up and I was worried because I was getting really in the middle of the night, I was getting good DX contacts to New Zealand and Australia. And I was really afraid if we went higher, maybe it would change that. It didn't. It actually made it better. And I was on last night and I was hitting California, which I never can hit California for some reason. I mean, 5.9, 20 plus. I mean, it was crazy. It was clear. I mean, it was the clearest I've ever heard anyone on an HF band. Wow. And I got two of them. So I was pretty impressed. So I think the antenna is in a good spot.
It sounds like it's working really well. I know mine's even up 50 feet and, I'm barely scraping a 3.3 out of a Arizona or a California contact. I get better range with FT8, but good to hear on that one. That's awesome. Cool. All right. Well, so for me, I mean, obviously, if you were watching this on our YouTube, you'd see that I look like I'm living in a shanty behind me. I'm still in the midst of rebuilding a kitchen. So my shack office is kind of upside down and littered with all the kitchen utensils, but hasn't stopped me. I'm still doing some other stuff. I mean, Saturday, at the time of this recording, we ended up having another POTA meetup. At Bear Brook, it was totally a blast, although we were flanked by another, activity from another organization there at the pavilion. So we didn't get a chance to hit the pavilion, although the activity that was going on was a class reunion, and the class reunion was 1973. So the people that walked by didn't ask if we were wearing tinfoil hats or what the heck you're doing with all those antennas. They understood that because 1973 ham radio was pretty well, you know, popular and in the mainstream. And you know, there was a lot in the news about that and stuff like that. So it was no surprise to them. And actually, we actually had a couple of, you know, hams who saw the stuff there and they super excited. They must have dropped whatever they're doing. They ran over and they were like, oh my gosh, what are you guys doing? And, you know, so we're explaining to them and like, oh, this is really cool. I'll have to come, you know, when my wife is, you know, busy tied up with all of her reunion friends to come over and operate. And so, you know, a couple of them did. And, you know, some of them just came by and watched, and a few families, you know, who weren't even a part of that, you know, saw what was going on and they were asking questions. So I think overall it was another good, you know, POTA meetup, and looking forward to it. I know Tim, who, you know, KC1QDK, who's been, you know, taking the reins on that, is excited to start putting you know, the screws to another one. And, you know, so hopefully we'll try to get that in before maybe winter and go from there. So, you know, that was definitely fun. I ended up netting, I think, about 30 contacts after we finally sorted out all of other antenna issues and a few other things. But the band 20s was crazy. I mean, there was a the VHF UHF contest going on top of the European contest going on top of that. So there was barely any space in the bands on top of, you know, there was probably 40 plus POTA activations on the spotting page alone. So it was quite busy. It was, you know, I think I had netted probably maybe 15 or 20 park to parks just of that 31 contact. So it tells you how quick, you know, it was, you know, filling up, in terms of the dance card there. So overall it was pretty good.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah. I unfortunately had to miss that again. Second one now, baseball is killing me, but you know, I'm glad you guys had a good time. I haven't activated a park in a long time. I want to say it's almost been a month. It's like I'm jonesing to get out there. But
feel the withdrawal.
Yeah, I really am. I mean, I got all my stuff in my bag. It's ready to go. I just got to find the time to do it. So, yeah, I mean, but I'm glad the bands were good. And then that night, which was it last night? Yeah, yeah. Saturday night. That's when 20 meters, that's when I was hitting California and Europe like there was no tomorrow. So bands are definitely good this weekend.
Looking good, man. I think, you know, by the time fall really gets into gear, we're starting to see 10 meters peaking back up again. And those contacts, I'm looking forward to really, you know, I never thought I'd be ever saying out of my own self that I'd be looking forward to 10 meters to being my favorite band. But when that's open, those contacts are freaking phenomenal. So, you know, the whole entire solar cycles, you know, if this continues the way it is, I think we'll be in good shape for fall and maybe even to winter. So, you know, fingers crossed, knock on wood.
Remember when we were at that park and we were doing 20, you were doing FT8 and I was doing sideband, and then I switched to 10 meters
because
someone said, and I was like, whoa, I'm like, look at all these contacts, and people are like, thanks for doing 10 meters.
That's a good segue. I mean, ultimately I think that was one contact that you and I shared, you know, it's one of our favorite. But, you know, so let's kind of segue into that a little bit. So, you know, we're obviously one man down. As we said, Ryan wasn't able to get, you know, the time to come on the show. And so we'll definitely miss him. But, you know, we're going to, you know, continue to pick up and move forward. So, you know, we're going to talk about some of our memorable contacts and, you know, and it doesn't really have to be specific to HF, but I think a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about tonight is, you know, around that. And, you know, they can be good, bad, indifferent, but, or even funny stories, because I mean, we share a few, and we've touched upon, I think, in, you know, a couple of our early episodes where we said, you know, how we met and, you know, what we were doing in terms of the POTA and stuff. And, you know, we can share some of those things around that. But so, you know, let's kind of dive into it. So, you know, let's start with the most memorable. So for you, you know, what would you bring to the table as your most memorable?
Well, my most memorable contact was when I, back in 2020, when I was just a technician, I was on a HT and I had a mag mount antenna. I had a metal roof on my house and I had it sticking out the window kind of at an angle. And what do they call it when the VHF skips? Or
oh, you had a aurora skip, yeah.
Oh yes, and everyone was talking about on the repeaters all day, and so I was like, oh, this is going to be kind of cool. So I went through, and I'd be going through the channel, and I'd hear someone, and I'd look it up, and I'm like, oh, this is a Boston repeater. Maybe I can get them because, you know, I could in the past, and I make this contact, and they're 850 miles away up in Canada. It was the Miramichi area VHF net. And
you were checking in.
Yeah, I'm checking in. In and Out Net, September 9th, 2020. It was Gary who sent me the QSL card. It was VE9GSB. And I was like, whoa. It was like a Wednesday at 9 p.m. And I honestly thought the guy was messing with me when I was talking to him. He goes, no, we're like 800 miles away from you. And I'm like, really? Wow. I'm like, how is that even possible? So I was pretty psyched. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. I said, this is must be like what all those general guys do. So that was my first experience of like, I kind of want to get beyond these nets and this HT and what's down the road. But I have to say that was, and you know, at the time I thought it was kind of cool, but when a couple weeks later I got the card in the mail and I was like,
sealed the deal.
Stoked. Yep. I was like, whoa. I'm like, and it was on 5 watts.
I know,
that's on an insane. HT with a mag mount,
on top of a roof.
like I didn't even have my regular VHF antenna. I was like, damn,
that's impressive.
So yeah, that's got to be my most memorable one. Probably the coolest one, because it'll probably never happen to me again. I mean, not on VHF. I mean, maybe it could, but
yeah, you're right. It might have to be a calculated one, but it's going to be like the 5 watts and running on a paper clip.
And what was funny is, I guess what the guy was telling me is, I think on this net, they turn the tone off when they do the net. Okay. So like, how would I get on this net if I didn't even know what the tone was?
Way, right. You're right.
Right. And
how'd you open the PA?
I was like, how is this going on? But
I mean, heck, we have a general problem when we're trying to hit our repeater, you know, on a good day.
Right. I know. I'm in the same town as our repeater and I can't hit it, but this guy's up in New Brunswick, I think. New Brunswick, Canada?
Yeah. Wow, dude. That's
so impressive. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Nice
tropo ducting, you know, long stream, you know, hey, just Todd's plugging in his frequency and boom, he's off.
Well, you know, and during the day, you know, people were talking about they were getting like New York, they were getting like New Jersey, Pennsylvania. So there was like, that was all the talk on the repeaters. And at that time, that's all I did was scan and listen to repeaters. And so when I did that at night, I was like, did our net, and then I went around and started messing around and I found these guys just luck.
It's totally awesome. Cool.
It's like I was doing HF, like normally like now how you do HF, I was doing on VHF and I'm like, oh, here's a good station. Let me check in.
I know, right? It's just bouncing a repeater to repeater.
Yeah.
It's awesome. All right. Well, hey, so for me, I guess my most memorable would have to be something that I was way back when I got my ticket, no code, which is 1991. So we're digging very far back. I was probably in my high school years, probably sophomore, junior. I think at that point we had I was part of like the first three established in the club to, be part of the ham radio, official ham radio club. And I think only one other kid outside of my brother who, you know, was in this club had his basically HF privileges. So my brother and I were just no code tech. So, you know, we had an HF rig, but the club, the town club gave us the call sign for the school. So, you know, we could operate under the club's ownership, which was, you know, basically, you know, at an extra level or, you know, somewhere around that. I think it was advanced. And so right around that time, the big thing was the Space Shuttle Atlantis. And so that would always, you know, and in this time it was like 1991, a lot of the technology that we have today in terms of tracking and all that stuff was almost impossible to like, you know, find, you know, a computer, nevertheless, a really good HF piece of equipment to, you know, talk to the space shuttle. And so this, you know, club gave the school a radio, electronics teacher gave us a small little room off the side of the architecture room in the shop area that had a door and, you know, no windows and whatever. So you could just basically, you know, turn up the radio and not have to worry about it. And so Space Shuttle Atlantis would, you know, basically take off, and they were the first or one of the first, you know, missions to actually have astronauts at, you know, that had an HF radio on the shuttle. And so there were passes that would go over from time to time. And everybody that I know, at least in the New England area, in terms of the trajectory and the time frames, you know, was always struggling to try to get to it. To cut to the chase, the long story of it is that, you know, after finding the right window and skipping classes and doing all of the things you're not supposed to do as a student, because I never really was a good student, I was always in the radio room trying to, you know, make this contact, because I was so like, I got to do this, you know, it's, you know, no problem. And my electronics teacher obviously saw the, you know, how passionate I was about it. So you know, there was one pass that was like coming over that was the longest pass that was possible that you could get to maybe even try to make a conversation with the Atlantis. And so he's like, here, I'll give you a hall pass for your English class. And it got me out of the test at the same time. So I got down to the radio room and I spent like myself locked in that room. And I, you know, it was like magical. Like I, you know, reached out, they respond. I mean, I was yelling into the microphone to try to get them to hear me. And finally, after I hear on the other end, you know, them give us a call back. And it was like the simple exchange. It was like a five, you know, I don't even know what the, you know, signal report was. And I was like tripping over my words because I was like just so enamored by the whole process of like, oh my gosh, they're actually responding back. And all we had is a simple vertical on the roof and, you know, maybe 50 watt or, you know, it's back in those days, they didn't even have 100, you couldn't get 100 watt, you know, HF rig because, you know, they weren't as popular or, you know, what you could find today. So, you know, I was screaming in the microphone and they finally came back and I got the confirmation. And I was like totally ecstatic on, you know, on top of the moon and, you know, the whole nine yards. It was just totally psyched because nobody else had it. And so I guess my, you know, high school electronics teacher obviously recognized that. And so all of a sudden the, you know, newspapers from the local town and Lowell and all of us coming in and gave the school publicity. And, you know, we're on a couple of Lowell, local, you know, TV stations and stuff like that in town and whatnot. And so it was, you know, it was very popular. And, you know, I got tagged as the ham radio guy in school. So I just got used to the, you do what? What's ham radio? You know, you're the weird guy.
I talk to astronauts.
Exactly. That's exactly. Even if I said that, it was like, you know, they're like, why would you want to talk to an astronaut? Because it's talking to an astronaut. Come on, please. Who gets a chance to do that? And so, yeah, they tagged us as like the weird science guys because we would always go into that closet and never come back out until hours later. And they're like, don't go in that room. The, you know, weird guys go in there. And so, you know, but that was kind of what kicked it off. I mean, at that point I was, you know, very much like yourself. It just kind of cemented in the idea. It's like, I got to get my CW down, which never really happened. But I had field day to, you know, kind of still get my HF, feelings of, you know, making contacts all night long. I mean, they were, you know, there's some other stories I'll talk in a bit about that, but yeah, that kind of just really set me in motion. And then I took a 20-year break and got back into it like right where we are now. And now it's
life happened, families come around, and then you came back.
Exactly. Yep. Now I'm super addicted to HF and can't get enough of it.
Well, you know, that's like, you know, I put in the International Space Station in my 2-meter radio. And sometimes I'll just monitor it, and especially if I know what's coming by, and sometimes you can hear them. Wow. I know that sometimes they talk to schools, but you can't hear the schools talking to them, but you can hear them if they're flying over. And I know that, I know Tim does, he does some slow scan stuff and gets pictures from them. I guess the Russian cosmonauts are really into sending slow scan pictures, but at least that's what he said. And I've seen it on YouTube too. Like those are the guys that love to do that. But I'm like, oh God, I want to talk to one of those guys. Just like, imagine having a QSO with a guy that's floating around in the space station. Like, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, we got to plan that. Let's start to do a live stream with it.
Have him as a guest.
Yeah, exactly right. Hey, can we coordinate a time with you to be on our show?
I think that's what fascinates me about the ham radio is like, literally, I have a radio and a wire hanging up in some trees, to put it in layman's terms, and I can talk around the world. It fascinates me. It's just amazing. And, you know, that was for me, that long distance, even though it was only 850 miles, but that's huge on VHF. That's,
dude, you were talking on a whip that was no longer probably like 30 inches, maybe max. I mean, and you're putting a signal 800 miles away. That's insane.
I know. And on 5 watts. And at the time, I didn't know what the difference between 5 watts and 100. I mean, I literally just got my technician license. So, yeah, that was pretty exciting. And I think my second, well, what then kind of really hooked me is the field day that I didn't really participate in field day, but you participated in field day and you said, you got to come by, see what it's all about. And I knew nothing. And I remember you guys putting up this, it looked like a rocket launcher, huge antenna.
Velocity of the antenna.
And, yes. And you guys spent all this time, you had it up and everyone's doing it and it didn't work. And so my wife goes, so how was field day? I'm like, yeah, I don't get it. They put up all these antennas that don't work. And I don't know. I said, but I made a contact to Pennsylvania. I'm like, that was pretty cool. And now I look at like, I'm like, oh, Pennsylvania. It's like, might as well be talking to the next door neighbor.
It's like talking to Rhode Island.
But still, that was, and then my youngest, Zach, he made a contact for the club as a non, right? It was non-ham something. And I think he got Pennsylvania too.
He might've gotten a little farther, but let's go back and look. You were surprised.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was kind of like, oh, I should probably start really now looking into this. And then Eric pulled me in and basically said, you're getting your general on this day and it's in 2 weeks. You better start
crashing. 2 weeks. It was probably like a month away, I think, at that point. But
I had been studying, but I wasn't really getting into it. And then I'm like, if I don't pass, these guys will never let me hear the end of it.
Dude, you don't have to pass with 100, thank God, because nobody ever goes by and goes, hey, did you pass with a 99 or 100? It's like, did you get your ticket? Yeah, you got a ticket. Let's party.
On both my tests, when I was doing the practice test, I did better on the real test than I did on any practice test. Like, I think I only got two wrong on the not general, bad. But like, I would get like three or four or five wrong every time. Like, I would just be like, meh. So,
that's awesome.
but and then after that, after I got my general, we went out to lunch and then you and I were driving home. You go, you want to go to a park? And I was like, I'm like, yeah, I guess. It was my first POTA activation. And I was so nervous because I didn't know how to say.
I do remember that, dude. I do remember
talk.
That.
And I was like messing it all up. And
do I give him 5-9 or do I give him the park number? Or do I do I say QSL? Do I say QRZ?
I was like a mess. Well, and you go back and think about that. It's like, that's none of the stuff they teach you on the test on how to really operate. I mean, they tell you the rules, but they don't really. I always said, like, it'd be nice that when you're studying for the test, like you get like a learner's permit,
right?
And you can activate, like, I don't know, just practice. Like this,
I guess, other like over in Europe in the RSGB, they do you get to operate in those bands, but they test you against the actual like functional, like, hey, how do you handle a QSO? And that's part of their testing, exam versus just like, hey, this is the theory. And if how to study to questions that are multiple choice, then you're going to pass.
Yeah. And we don't have that. So that's like the hands-on learning. It's kind of like I say, like with work, you can go to school and get all the education you want, but you really learn your career by experience and actually doing the job. Right.
Exactly. Yep.
So,
all right. So let's kind of break it. So what would you have we talked obviously most memorable and we touched upon a few there, but like, what would be your, like, do you have a most difficult one that just like the crap hit the fan, everything was just, one of those things that just like, it was a no good, horrible, rotten day, that, still sticks out in your head? Or, I think you had one early and you may want to touch upon the coax, in Vermont, I think triggers one of my thoughts.
What, when I, with POTA?
Or just in general, like in terms of like going out to a, event, that always happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I planned a day. I said, all right, I'm going to go out in the morning. I'm going to drive out to Vermont. I brought my oldest son. He sometimes likes to go out and do them with me. We get out there. I found this park. It was perfect. We paid, we get in there. I get it all set up and no coax. And I think I talked about this on a previous podcast. Right.
Yep.
And I was like, oh. And then I'm like, and I mean, it's Vermont. Like, there's nothing really anywhere near that I could even get coax to kind of jimmy rig it up. So I came back 2 weeks later and did that park. But I was determined to get that park activated. I'm like, I can't not do it. Mm-hmm. But I think one of my other contacts that I thought was pretty memorable was when I made my first true DX contact outside of North America. So I didn't consider Canada. In the United States, like, that's, to me, is not, even though some people say, oh, Canada's DX, I don't think it is. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. But I got my first guy, and he was my 61st HF contact, and he was from Slovenia. Now, at the time, I didn't even know Slovenia even existed or where the hell it was. I probably heard of it, but I'm like, Slovenia, Yugoslavia, it's like one of those. Mm-hmm. But it was a guy named Slavko, and his call sign was it was S57DX, so Sierra 57 Delta X-ray.
Wow.
And we had a QSO, and I had told him, I said, you're my first DX contact, and we were talking, and I had said, I'm just starting, and I asked him how he's doing and good, and then couple of days later, I'm messing around the radio and I picked him up again, and because of logging, and I, at first I didn't realize it was because of logging. He goes, "Oh, my New Hampshire friend." I'm like, "This guy remembered me." But now that I know, it just pops up on the computer and he says, "Oh, I worked you last week."
Very cool.
So yeah. So that was kind of a you know, it's when you remember when you get out there, you know, and of course I run around and run upstairs and tell my wife, "I just talked to some guy in Slovenia." She's like, "Big deal. I could just pick up the phone and call him." I'm like, "Yeah.
We're working her over sooner enough."
Yeah. She keeps listening to these podcasts. She might actually become a ham.
It's funny. Not to sidebar too much, but, and I don't know if Tim's listening, but Tim's wife, Kim, was behind me while I was operating. And I turned to her, I'm like, because Tim was all the way on the opposite side of the field for doing CW. And I turned to him, like, "You know, you've been with us for long enough. You know, what's keeping you from getting your ticket?" She's like, "Oh, you know," kind of giving that him. And I'm like, "There's no, it's like, you know, let's surprise Tim. Let's not tell him you're going to get a ticket. And then one night you can just take the microphone from him and he'll be like, 'What's going on? You can't do that. Blah, blah, blah.' And if she's like, "You know, let me put my call sign out there," you know, just leave it at that. I think, you know, we'll have to encourage her in that way.
What'd she say to that?
Maybe. No. I'm like, "No, well, we'll work this one out. I'll sit with you for a little bit. You know, I'll come back and I'll try again later." And, you know, you've been with us. I mean, you're literally like already indoctrinated into the club at this point. So it's like, you know, why not just get your ticket? You know, you'll have fun with it. I guarantee it. So, but anyway, that's a nice segue. But yeah, I would say contacts. Like, I'm trying to think what would be one of the greatest ones that I did. The only one I can think of was my very, like, if we're talking DX for me, one of the ones I tried that I got very quickly that I just didn't really know that I had would have been, and I'm looking back at my logs, was like the first one came to you and actually confirmed. I actually just realized this now. Was a contact in Ireland. Like, now at that time, let me frame out. I had a Yaesu FT450, which is a very beginner radio, good radio, had DSP in it. I had a MFJ 1982 antenna. Now, everybody who knows those antennas, they're cheap, but they're garbage, you know, over a long period of time. They fall apart. They're not really great. So I had put it up like maybe at 20 feet. So I think when I hit that contact and looking at my notes in my log, I was like, that was my first sideband contact. Now it was a 3-3 and I did a simple exchange with him, and, you know, I haven't worked him since if I go back in and look. But, you know, like, Italy is exactly how you, you know, expressed earlier. It's like, you know, you wander around and tell your wife or, you know, tell everybody, and they're like, "Yeah, Italy, whatever." It's like, but I worked hard to get there. You know, that thing, I had to like listen. I had to like tune it in. I had to, you know, do all of this, you know, heavy lifting to finally get my voice out there. And then when he heard it, it's like, yeah, he's got it. Let's go. This is awesome. You know, so, you know, it's like those contacts, like you shared. It's like they're always going to be cemented in our mind. And I'm sure we'll have a boatload more as we continue to play in the flex world, because it just makes it easier for some reason. I don't know why, but.
Yeah, I don't know why either, but I've been getting a lot more contacts with my flex radio than I've ever had. And I think it's just because of convenience. You know, like, I can turn it on. It's just wherever I'm at, I can do it.
It's literally right in front of you and you can do it, well, and you're all good. You know, well,
one of the guys in our club, Ray, who is, I call him like the antenna king, because look in his backyard, if you look up, it's like a spider web of dipoles. Oh,
it's insane.
Right? I mean, that's the best way to explain it. But he would text me and he goes, "Oh, my friend from Italy." Now, it's just a ham radio guy that he's had contact with 1,000 times or whatever.
Right.
And he goes, "You got to try to work him." So, you know, I tried for like a week, because this guy would get on and he'd have huge pileups and I wasn't getting in. And then like one day, like a week into it, I got him. And I called Ray. I go, "Ray, I got him. I finally got him in the lot."
Pinzo, his names or something like that. I can remember exactly how Ray referred to him.
Yeah. But yeah, and it's like now it's like, you know, Italy is, I get a lot of Italy's, like they have a big ham community over in Italy, especially like when I'm doing POTA. Like typically if I'm doing POTA and I'm going to get a DX contact while activating a park, 9 out of 10 times it's coming from Italy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
at least one. That's my experience.
Echo Alpha is the one I'm thinking of. There's one that I get all the time on POTA, and let me see if I can dig up his call that now you should trigger my thoughts. Echo Alpha. One, man, where is his call sign? I always see it. Oh, but like, you know, it's not a DX contact, but there's one guy that when I hunt all the time, and I share this with you, his first name's Charlie, and no, Bruce. Why did I say Charlie? I'm looking at something else. His name is Bruce, and his call sign is Kilo One India Charlie Papa. And I can't tell you how many times, every time I activate, it's literally like he's hunting me directly. If I go into my POTA stats, I have more contacts with just him alone every time I go POTA activating. And it could be horrible in terms of bans. And actually, I was down in Arlington like when the ban conditions were bad 2 weeks ago. And lo and behold, Kilo One India Charlie Papa. And it's like, Bruce, how's it going, buddy? And it's like, you know, we have like this, like we've been two brothers lost, you know, separated by two mothers. And it's like, you know, I've never seen, you know, outside of on QRZ, you know, him, his picture in his shack and stuff like that. But, you know, it's like that, the kindred spirit thing, you know, it's like, hey, you know, I hear you. I know your voice. I know your contact, you know, and, you know, it's good to be able, you know, reunite for those five warm minutes that, you know, you make a contact with and move on.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. Like when I was doing a lot of activations in a short period of time, like multiple times a week, constantly getting on, I was going down to Florida getting on, I was down to Mississippi getting on, I was coming up here doing it. I would get a lot of the same guys who were also activating. A lot of the park to parks are the same people, and they're on every night. Like some people do it every night. Oh, God, and they start recognizing you, and you start recognizing them, and all right, I'll get you on 17 tomorrow, whatever. So that's kind of,
yeah, it's kind of cool. It's like, you know, I mean, how many times did you and I, when we first started playing, when like K Murder would hop on, K and MRD would hop on, you'd be like, oh, dude, I got to work him.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just,
yeah, like, I've worked up half a dozen times now, right?
Like, yeah, I could go on my look of it. I'm like, yeah, K Murder's on a grid. Let's move something different. You know, so yeah. Like I created a, you know, my hunt for YouTubers list on my website. And it's like literally, I'm picking people off one by one. And it's like,
he should be an easy one because he's always on.
Well, he's got his technician nights and he's doing FT8. So it's like, yeah. You know, you see him come across the ham alert and you're like, okay, yeah, I'm busy. Oh,
remember we had the FT8 off? I beat him once.
Yes, you did.
I did. I let you know. I'm like, I beat him.
At that point, I think he was just getting into FT8. So
yeah,
you did have
he probably smoked me now, right?
Yeah, but the point, I'm sure with the 7610 and all the stuff that he goes into, you know, so yeah. I like hunting those folks. I mean, they aren't like super DX in my mind, but like, hey, when you make a contact with them, you know, it kind of gives you a self of, you know, self pride thing. And you're like, okay, cool. I'm, you know, moving on. I know my radio can do its job and, you know, I can pick those guys out of a deep, you know, signal, you know, SNR noise issue and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool.
Well, so, you know what I like to sometimes do is I'll just go on my log and my log will have like, you can get like stats and see, and yep. Just see all the different countries I've worked. Like you don't realize all the countries that you've worked over a couple year period. It's like, holy crap. Like I worked that country three times and like, I don't have a lot in Africa. I've got a few. And yeah. I've only got like a very few in the Middle East. Like for some reason, the Middle East is, I have more on FT8 than I do sideband. But so those are the ones. And then I never had Australia or New Zealand until just recently. And that's been like my, now it's like for me in the middle of the night to get Australia, New Zealand is like me getting Italy on a POTA activation. So, I'm like, that's
Australia again. You've got N3 FJP, right? That's what you use for logging? Yeah. Go into just, you know, let's do a little quick test here. Go into your awards real quick and set your mode and band to like 20 meters and sideband, and then just do a calculate. Tell me what five continents you've already worked.
All right, so what do? I go into.
So yeah, you're in awards, and then once you do the awards, you're gonna pick states, countries, you know, et cetera.
Yeah,
and then change your band to 20 and mode to sideband, and then hit calculate.
All right, sideband. All right, where is the calculator? There we go.
And so,
what up do you want to know?
Yeah, so up at the very top, how many states have you worked? There should be a number right next to work states.
Yeah, it only says 33, but I've worked more than that.
Oh wow. Okay. Well. All right. And then so go to your continents. How many continents have you worked so far straight that you have enough contacts to actually get a award for working continents?
Oh, this is just awards?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I only got four, but it doesn't show Australia.
Oh, not yet. No, tomorrow. So
yeah. But if I go down, let's see if I go down, but down here I've got Australia. Like if you go.
So how many countries have you worked total out of the three?
191.
Wow. I'm only at 37, so you blow the doors off me on that one.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's counties. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say. counties are like of 900, but yeah. So where are you at with countries?
This isn't accurate. It only says six, like I've worked Alaska.
Imported all of your other stuff from your Flex into your log yet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, weird.
So I don't know. I got to look at this. I never even looked at this.
Yeah, so these are all the things.
Because it says I have 334 left.
Okay, so I got about 37 worked out of 330.
Yeah, like I worked Antarctica, and that one says I didn't work it, but I did.
Oh, wow.
Because it was the, remember we did FT8?
And yeah.
Antarctica was on there?
Yep, yeah, Iceland and all that too. Yep.
Yeah, I got Iceland.
Wow.
Yeah. So if I look into, let's see, view, and then I go into statistics. All right. So, country, it doesn't show you, but it shows all the different countries. I mean, it's just like, it goes on and on and on. Like, the Gambia. Like, what is the Gambia? Or Suriname?
Yeah.
Norfolk Island. I know where that is. Martinique, Malta, Isle of Man.
Yep.
What, right? You have them?
I've worked them.
Ghana, Guadalupe, Guam, El Salvador, Crete, China, Bolivia.
I worked Antigua and Barbuda.
Them too. Antigua and Barbuda. So those are two. I've been to Antigua. Those are two islands in the Caribbean that are actually one country. They're two countries. It's kind of like states. Like they're two islands, but they're governed by one government. And here's the Antarctica.
Do you have Kingdom of Iswatini? I have no idea where the heck that is. Kingdom of Iswatini.
No. That's weird. So let's see. I'm trying to find where are some of them are like, it's like European Russia. Then there's Asian Russian, Cuba. I got a ton of Cuba, Switzerland. Some of the smaller ones, like I've got, there's Slovenia, Northern Ireland, U.S. Virgin Islands, Belize, Luxembourg. So Luxembourg's a tiny little country. You know what I want to get is, where was Princess Grace from? Monaco. I don't have Monaco.
That would be
a cool one to have because that's like one of that and the Vatican. The Vatican's the smallest legal country in the world.
I know. Actually, I do have Monaco. I have Monaco and Morocco. I must have hit it. One or two people.
They're kind of near each other. I mean, Monaco's in France and Morocco's just.
So here's a little statistic. If you scroll down in that same list, there's a line that says total DX miles. What's your average miles per DXQ? So what's that number look like?
4,105.
Oh, dude, you blow the doors off me. I'm only at 3,376.
Well, that's because I've been getting all those Australian and New Zealand. Like they're like, it says my QSOs, let's say total DX miles, QSOs in US not counted, 10,598,942.
Wow. Holy crap.
10 million miles.
That's huge.
I know. And that's only, what is that? What did I start? That's only 2 years of being a general. So
yeah, dude, you had been doing your hauling, kicking butt. That's for sure.
Yeah.
See, this is the stats. Like, you know, you should need to share with your wife to say like, hey, these are actually like, can you dial on your phone and prove that you picked up and had a phone number call with this person?
She got me a map and it's like one of those, you know, like a scratch ticket.
Yeah.
And I have to scratch off every country.
You've done that yet?
And she's all, cause it's just sitting up there. And I'm like, you know, it's going to take me like a week of Sundays to get that done. Like half the world's going to be scratched off.
Yeah. Mine's over in the corner in a frame. So there's no way I'm going to be able to scratch it.
Yeah. So I think like maybe one day if I get COVID or something else and I can't go to work, I'll just sit in the dining room scratching.
Be like, you know, you're in prison marking the wall.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. But awesome. Well, hey, you know, so let's kind of, you know, wrap this up. So any other like interesting contacts or, you know, stuff that that's memorable to you that, you know, you've gone through that you want to kind of mention as a honorable mention?
You know, I think it's also cool. Like when you and I worked park to park, you were in Vermont. I think I was in, Mississippi or Florida?
Yeah, I totally.
That was kind of cool that you and I worked a park to park and that
even the one that I went to Florida and I was operating on the coast, you know, you were like coming in like 5'8" and then, you know, the next person right after that was K Murder. So
Oh, I was right after
number
so
one.
Probably, yeah. He probably listened to me talking to you. Like, maybe. Who's this guy talking? His buddy or something? Yeah. Oh, actually, I got one more. We'll give Ryan.
Okay.
He's part of this one. So Ryan, we were on 10. He texted me and he was over Iceland flying. And he's like, "Hey, I'm on this frequency. See if you can reach me." And I get on the radio. I go to the frequency, and boom, there he is. So we're having this QSO.
Nice.
So he was 45,000 feet up, doing like I think it was like 700 miles an hour.
Insane. That's awesome.
In a Gulfstream jet. So I get on my app, FlightAware, where you can track airplanes. So I'm looking, and then all of a sudden I find him. I take a screenshot and I send it to him. I'm like, "I think I found you." He goes, "Yep, that's me.
That's where I'm at." That's
so awesome. Yeah, so I guess that's a DX contact. He was flying over Iceland, and
we're on meters too, isn't it? I think you got both.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was kind of a cool one too. I mean, it's kind of cheating because he told me like he was on there, but he wanted to see it work.
You know, he was,
but that was another one. I ran up. I'm like, I go, Diane, I go, "I got Ryan on." She goes, "Yeah." So I'm like, "No, he's flying the airplane. He's like over Iceland."
Yeah, go back downstairs.
And she's like, "Don't they just fly like airplanes like that? Like, don't they use the radio to talk to the?" I'm like, "Yeah, but it's just different.
Different channels, different functionality. They don't really share much except that, hey, I'm going to be landing here or taking off." So, yeah, cool. So, yeah, that was kind of fun. I enjoyed walking down memory lane and talking about some stuff while, one of our best buds was away. But I'm sure he would have probably had a ton of contacts. I know he's shared a few with us that, have definitely struck a chord. So, yeah, overall, I had pretty much good fun there. And, hopefully our listeners did too. And, hey, if you're listening to this, definitely comment. We'd love to, hear what your best, contact was, what one of your most memorable ones are, whether you're a kid or as an adult or just something you had last week, definitely share, be part of the community, let us know. And as, we kind of wrap up here, thanks for joining our Live Free in Hand podcast. If you haven't subscribed, you can always connect with the show. We definitely love the reviews. If you can head over to iTunes, if you're an Apple listener, leave a review there. We'll definitely, if you leave a, comment, we'll make sure we read it on the next show. You can always contact us connect with us on social media, get the most latest information, shows and content. And as always, we need the help supporting our show because we're trying to just reach out more into the community and get more people, in front of ham radio and, learning more. You can always use our Patreon and buy us beer links that are in all of our show notes and on our website as well. And if you want to contact any of our hosts, you can always head over to livefreeinham.com. And with that, thanks again for listening. And for all of us at Live Free in Ham, 7-3.
7-3, guys. Thanks.